It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our regular weekly dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who joins us from SUNY Albany. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
A little wet.
Oh, yeah? Getting a little rainy out there?
Sad but true. Sounds like it's better out there.
Oh, my goodness. It's sunny and in the 90s, and I have two guests in the studio. We have Jenny Ray.
Hi, Dr. Mitch.
Great to hear you.
And we have Jordan.
Hello.
Hey, Jordan.
So good to meet you.
I'm surrounded by beautiful young women. My job is the best ever.
Talking about cannabis.
At that. But we always start things off here with our good doctor by letting him give us the first word in the latest in cannabis science. So what's up, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, a little bit of concern about childhood marijuana exposure. Just little kids eating edibles, essentially. Some UBC researchers got some money to investigate medical marijuana and AIDS. And then we got some rehashes about teens and their developing brains, and that, in fact, marijuana is markedly safer to smoke than that nasty tobacco.
All right. Well, this one, I saw this in the news as well. This was National Journal has it, says 147% increase in childhood marijuana exposure, and even worse in the marijuana-friendly states. It's up 609% in a seven-year span, 2006 to 2013. Oh no, Dr. Mitch, what's going on here?
Well, I don't want to make light of this because this shouldn't happen at all. No little kids should be eating cannabis edibles. That's how it really shouldn't be. But these numbers, the reason they give a percentage like this is to make it sound like it's a bigger alarm than it really is. Basically, we've got 30 per million in some of the, you know, medical cannabis states and some of the legalization states. That's still less likely than getting Delta straight flush. So I'm not going to, you know, try to get too alarmed about this, but we have to be more careful with our edibles. Most of these kids who are having this happen are under the age of 3. Hey, when I was under age 3 and I found a brownie, I'd have eaten it too. So we just got to make sure we keep our edibles in a safe place.
How much of these increases are due to the fact that the cannabis may be more accessible, that people may be more careless with it, thinking, oh, I don't have to hide it now from the cops? And then how much of this could be attributable to people are now willing to report when their kid gets into something, whereas before they might have just waited it out and avoided the cops?
I think that there's something to be said for that. These were, you know, emergency room visit type things. I want to emphasize, too, I think people who don't have kids don't realize once they start walking, man, they will find the most dangerous thing in the room. Like, it is astounding how quickly they can get to sharp objects and psychoactive medications. So, you know, just I think we got to move to that model like they have in Colorado, where everything that leaves that the dispensary is in a locked bag. We need to keep it in a locked bag in our houses too. And I think that things will go a lot better.
You know, I am one of the pot guys out there. People know me for that. And even in my house, when we're not consuming, before we leave the house, we put everything in a cabinet. We put everything in a drawer, you know. So if we bring a guest over, they're not immediately shocked by the sight of cannabis or whatever, or maybe they've got kids. I've got friends with kids and I want them to be able to come over and not think that there's anything weird going on or that they have to hide from their kids. So I guess I hide it from their kids is what I'm trying to say. And maybe more people should do that.
That's a great strategy. In fact, Sheila Murphy has a new paper out basically saying that the people who are most considerate long-term cannabis users, they are always kind of keeping an eye out for making sure anybody who comes over is going to be comfortable. We still have plain view rules in pretty much every state. So if you're in a place where cannabis is illegal too, it's really a good habit to keep it out of eyeshot.
Yeah. All right. So I also wanted to make mention, you know, in the headlines today, we covered the Missouri Right to Farm Amendment, and Dan Vietz was the attorney who we mentioned in this, but we should also let folks know he's part with Missouri Normal and part of the Normal Legal Committee and the Normal Board of Directors. And Dr. Mitch, maybe you can speak to, you know, the work that these Normal Legal Committee members do, because I think, you know, so there's a conspiracy theory among some in the culture that, oh, they're just trying to make more regulations so that they have more court cases or whatever. Talk about the Normal Legal Committee a second.
Well, in fact, no, these are all folks who work sometimes pro bono to help anybody who's having a cannabis related legal problem. So I love, first of all, they shell out money to be on the Normal website, and I could not be more grateful for their support. And then literally every single one of them is an expert in either criminal law or business law and helping folks out in those domains. And tons of what they do goes unnoticed, in part because we want to respect confidentiality. It's not fair for anybody who gets a bust, who comes to us, to suddenly be in the news if they don't want to. And so I really, my hat is off to these guys. And to tell the truth, having had only one constitutional law class, I can tell you I sure couldn't do that job.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what they do. And we just saw some of the best of them at the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar. If you want to hear from some of the best, go to my SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/radicalrust. Look for that Normal Aspen Legal Seminar and just fill your brain, man. It's good stuff. All right, there's a story about a UBC, University of British Columbia researcher, getting $1 million to study medical marijuana for people with AIDS. And I thought an interesting twist on this was that it seems to be private donations or corporate donations from medical marijuana that are funding this.
And it's amazing up in Canada that this is not a bigger ordeal. I think trying to do this in the States would be outrageous. The other thing that's novel is they're really emphasizing the fact that there's essentially lower viral load in those HIV patients who are using cannabis daily. And we do have some, you know, lab work that suggests that cannabis actually does have a chance at working against the HIV virus. I don't want to imply that this is in any way something to, you know, inhibit people from practicing safer sex. But this notion that cannabis actually may be battling the HIV virus is not an approach that has flown here in the United States. Now, it could be that they're better with their meds if they're on cannabis, or they find their meds more tolerable, so they're more likely to stick to them. But the fact that we're even gathering those data with that question in mind, I think, is a real step forward.
Well, you know, I think Brownie Mary and Dennis Perone were onto this, what, 30 years ago, and now we're getting money to actually study it. That's great news.
And actually, as things like this go, that's relatively fast.
Yeah, no kidding, unfortunately. All right, we had a question from our chat room. Speed limit, it's just a two-word question, so I'm going to expand it a bit. You're often a proponent for vaporization over combustion, vaporizers over smoking. So he was just wondering, what's your favorite vaporizer?
Well, I may have a conflict of interest because the Firefly folks gave me a free Firefly to use in the last big vaporizer study we did. So I really love them. And, you know, everybody has sort of their own favorite, and that has to be one of mine right now.
How about if someone's looking for a product, how might they evaluate, you know, the differences of one to the other for their, you know, best benefit?
It's stunning because there are YouTube videos on literally every single one you've ever heard of and a bunch you've probably never heard of, and I think that that's a big plus. I think the Firefly's advantage is there's a switch on the side where you can actually hold it in as long as you want. So if you do want a thicker sort of vapor, you can get it. It doesn't quite get to the standard smoke range, but, you know, it's there if you want it. And I think the key is everybody's got their own takes. As far as stealth is concerned, a lot of folks are big fans of the packs because it's just so dinky. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it really depends on sort of what you're looking for. I'm obviously not a guy who is really smoking in places where I need to hide. So everybody's got their own priorities.
Yeah, I just saw a clothing manufacturer who makes a hoodie now where the zip, you know, the little strings for the hoodie are vaporizer tubes. So, yeah, it's getting like, you know, get smart level of technology here. All right. There's a couple of stories that were out that are really just rehashes of stuff we've talked before about. But I liked this one in LA Weekly because they talk about Dr. Donald Tashkin and his pioneering work with marijuana and its effects or lack thereof on the lungs. And to me, this is almost a silver bullet in a debate. Whenever someone brings up the marijuana causes lung cancer, it has 400 more carcinogens than tobacco or whatever. Give our listeners just the thumbnail on that, what Dr. Tashkin taught us about marijuana and lung function.
So I want to emphasize that Donald Tashkin is not some old hippie. Like, this guy is a standard, pretty right-wing conservative UCLA med school professor emeritus. And he has 30 years of data now, 3 decades of folks literally coming into the lab and blowing into all the machines to check every aspect of lung function. Subsets of them get, you know, the scope run down their lungs, and he has really looked hard, and there's just nothing to find there. And what we're learning, Bob Malamede has a great article about this, is basically THC helps it so that if a cell becomes carcinogenic, it actually ends up killing itself. Whereas in the presence of nicotine, that will actually be much more likely to form a tumor. And when you get down to it, we're just not seeing the cannabis-induced cases of lung cancer. And unfortunately, tobacco still cranks it out.
The other pulmonary disease, of course, COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. What were some of the findings there?
So what's funny about this is there's actually, when you go all the way back to Shenang in 2800 BC, the cannabis was prescribed for asthma, and there is a slight increase in lung function in cannabis users, and it's unclear if it's just that bad habit of holding the hits too long or what it is, but it's always just statistically non-significant, but still seems to be there every single time, where they definitely actually have increases in the amount of total air they can blow out, and the most that they can blow out in 1 second, that FEV1 they call it. And so, in fact, we're not seeing any of the COPD we'd expect from smoking anything, and perhaps it is a THC-induced improvement.
I think it's no coincidence that some of the great legendary jazz trumpeters were big fans of marijuana. I think, I have this theory, you know, it's like guys that are jazz trumpeters or saxophone players or NBA basketball players, these people that are very in tune with their bodies functioning at its highest levels, I think they would feel or notice a decrease if they were using cannabis and would stop using it. I mean, their paycheck is on the line. Is there any research into those kind of qualities?
Unfortunately, there's the confound with the Gillespie pouches.
No, big dizzy Gillespie. Yeah, look like a bullfrog. That's right. All right. Well, folks, we're running out of time here with Dr. Mitch, but if you want to get your question answered privately and personally, you can by sending an email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch joins us every Monday here for our Cannabis Q&A. You can always call back or listen again on another Monday. Dr. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
See you. Catch you then.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have time for a radical rant. We're going to go to the great state of Kansas, where a mom.
Kansas.
What's that?
I said, oh, Kansas. Let's talk about you.
We're going to talk a little bit about Kansas coming up in the radical rant. Wait. And in hour two, they obviously can't wait. We've got Jenny Ray and Jordan.
So much to say.
Who are going to be road tripping to Kansas?
Oh, wait, that's a secret.
All right, we'll tell that later. All right, stay tuned. Radical Rant is next.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.